No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, Raw Feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet health is our business. And we're friends like my friend, Dr. Judy Jasek. Wow, she doesn't let friends feed kibble even out there in Tennessee.
No, ma'am. Matter of fact, got a new puppy over the weekend.
That's so cool.
Brought him home right on the raw. I didn't even ask what they were feeding him. I know they were not like a natural rearing breeder, but they did agree not to vaccinate him because I said it was a vet and I wanted to do my own protocols. So they agreed to do that. And I just brought him home, put him right on raw. Never a problem. Loves eating it. He's had a little soft poop here and there, but for the most part, nice firm stools and just loving it. Never thought twice. Didn't even think about what he was eating before. Just this is what he's going to eat going forward. And he's doing great on it.
You know, Rick always says that to people. He's like, look, our dogs don't get a choice whether they're going to eat chemically laden food, right? They don't get a choice that they're going to eat cooked food. No, they're going to eat what they were created to eat, and that is raw. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? They may have a preference that they like duck over salmon or something like that. That may be true. And we're not going to force them to eat something that they absolutely hate. But they don't get a choice. Like people are, you know, the people say, well, my dog's a picky eater. And well, what do you do when they're picky? Well, I give them kibble or I give them cooked food. And we're like, So your dog is controlling the situation, not you as the leader of the pack.
Right. Right.
Right.
You don't give them a smorgasbord or they're just going to keep waiting for the next best offer.
Right. Right. But again, it's really weird, Dr. Jasek. I mean, 25 years of feeding raw. Well, I should say 24. It was in 2000. So in 24 years, I've never had a dog not want to eat raw food. Most of the time, they're knocking me down.
Yeah.
Okay. So totally. I'm not sure what's going on with some of these picky dogs. Have no idea.
I think a lot of the time, if they're not sick. Now, I will say like some cancer patients where they're truly not feeling good, just their appetite starts to kind of wane. So that can happen. But if they're otherwise in good health, it's usually because they're being overfed. They're given too many choices. So you got to give them the food. They don't eat it. You pick it up and you don't feed them anything till the next meal. But I think people tend to, they didn't eat this. So then I'm going to offer them this. And I'm going to offer them this, especially little dogs. Having had Chihuahuas, my little 5-pound Chihuahua, if she like started like not eating real well, my first thought was I'm feeding her too much. And I'd back off a little bit. And because, you know, you're only feeding like an ounce and a half of meal something like that, you know, so it looks like a tablespoon or something. So it just doesn't look like a lot of food. But if she had a few too many treats or something and she just wasn't that hungry, then she just, you know, she just stare at her bowl and look at me and like, can I have a treat instead? You know, like, no, you get to wait till the next meal. I'm like, okay, I need to start feeding her less. And then magically, she was not picky anymore. She was very happy to eat.
Yeah. Now, dogs will eat crappy food and be excited about that as well. I mean, or Dr. Jasek, the kibble companies, the chemically laden cookies, cakes, and chemicals that lead to cancer. I mean, they wouldn't be a $12 billion company, right? But you guys got to remember that they put things in there to make them want to eat it. Okay. You know, the one thing that I think is tough for pet parents, Dr. Jasek, is to understand when they come to us, when they go to you, their dogs aren't doing well most of the time, right? We got the itchies, we got the cancer, we got the digestive, the high liver enzyme, all this kind of stuff. And I don't know why there's not this correlation that says if what you were doing was working,
Right.
Your dog wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. And I think this is a tough, tough realization for many pet parents. You know, I had a recent woman who's coming over. She has a German Shepherd that we love. And the German Shepherd is 11, has ataxia now, is on Apoquil, has been on Apoquil for 2 years, on flea and tech, on heartworm, on kibble. And she's really, really worried about the bacteria level in raw and the purity of raw. And
but she's poisoning her with all these, poisoning the dog with all these drugs, but right. worried about switching to a healthy diet.
Right. And this is, she's just a wonderful woman, but this is the connection that is lost because the narrative is so strong. Right. Mm-hmm. So I did ask the question, okay, how many rabies shots, right? How many rabies shots has your dog had? Well, the full whatever's required throughout 11 years. And I said, I don't think that there's one expert on our team that would say your dog should have another rabies shot. And shame on the vet that if your dog's on Apoquil, your dog's got itchies, your dog's got problems, that they went ahead and gave a rabies shot to your dog.
Right,
which we're going to talk a little bit more about rabies here in a second, because there's some cool stuff that's happening of people that are listening to the webinar and are taking that information that you have. But the next fear that this pet parent has, because this isn't the only pet parent that has it, is, well, I live in the mountains, okay, and we have predators, and what's going to happen if one of those rabid animals, you know, attacks my dog? And I said, but what rabid animals? What rabid animals are really out there, right? Did they do a necropsy on their brain? Have we really ever isolated that virus? Now, that's a conversation that, you know, can't have right off the bat, because that's just people think you're kooky.
Too much. Yeah. Too much.
But the truth about it is that that fear, again, we talk about it all the time, the fear that my dog's going to get bitten by a rabid animal and therefore be unwell drives people to do things that make their pets unwell.
I mean, even if you follow the conventional narrative, if you look up, like, what are the reservoir species? So these are the species that they say carry rabies. So, of course, bats and skunks are the two main ones. So if you don't see a lot of bats and a lot of skunks where you are, it's not like wild animals are just all carrying rabies and out there ready to attack your dog. I would say people like up in the mountains, it's probably a lot safer, you know, because, you know, I guess you could have bats, but the skunks and stuff, I think they're more at the little bit lower elevations. And it's not just because you've got a ton of wildlife and the deer and all that, but that's what people are told. It's just all this made up stuff that the vet tells them, just, you know, oh, yep, there's all that, the wildlife, you know, they're going to get rabies and they're going to get lepto. And, you know, because the wildlife is like just a bunch of disease ridden. If those animals were so sick, they wouldn't be surviving, you know, like the wild animals is survival of the fittest. If they had a serious disease problem, those individuals don't make it very long. So they're not the ones that are likely, you know, to be interacting with your dog. I mean, being up in more closer to the natural world is probably the safest place for your dog to be.
Well, if you have an aunt, okay, which is one of the things that we say over and over again, but you cannot put a poison in a living being and expect them to be healthy.
Right.
Period. Bar none. I don't care what the narrative says that, well, it protects your animals. How? How does this poison that you have to do once a year or every month help your pet be healthy? How does that work, Dr. Jason? Can you explain that to me?
No, I can't. And in fact, it makes them sicker. It makes them sicker. It makes them sicker. They're, the more of those vaccines they get and the more of these toxins they put in their body, they get sicker and sicker and sicker. And that's why they're on all the drugs that they're on. And, but, you know, but it's hard for people to make that connection because people want to be able to trust their vet and they want to believe that they're doing the best thing for their pet. But they'll put, yeah, they'll put all these poisons into their body, but raw food, oh my gosh, like that's really scary. I mean, we had an email from a client, new client this morning that it's just like, I don't know if I can make this change, this is going to be really hard because people are telling me that, you know, this is really, really bad for my pet. And my friends are telling me that I'm crazy for making this transition and all this. The narrative is just so strong, but it's based on nothing. Cause there's no sound evidence. There's so much evidence that vaccines make pets sick. I mean, you can see it. I mean, you know, I've been tracking it my whole career. And there's even reports where, you know, like the flea and tick medications, pets will get seizures or muscle tremors or things like that.
Or ataxia.
Yeah, ataxia. But there's never ever been a correlation, proven correlation between raw food and making a pet sick. A lot of presumptions, especially from the vets. But never yet. That's the thing that is the scariest and gets blamed. I don't understand it. It baffles me every day that I talk to clients how hard it is for people to make this change and to see through the narrative. I don't, this whole thing about the way these narratives get started and how strong they are is amazing to me. Like, you know, the DCM thing. You know, we've seen this over and over and over again. This stuff gets started and it's so powerful and it's so hard for people to break free from it. It's baffling no matter what you say. It's hard for people to, you know, see something different or do something different.
Well, and the whole thing about disease, Dr. Jasek, it's like there is no thought about the poisons. Could they be contributing to my dog's ongoing disease? Could they be the issue that caused the itching? And then we just add another drug to it, like Apoquil, right? And then we're going to go ahead and do the flea and tick, and we're going to do the heartworm, and we're going to do all of the rabies vaccinations. How do we not look at that and say, that is poisoning my dog's body? And I guarantee you that it's because the pet parents cannot or don't make the association that, or let me say it like this. If a vet is recommending it and the vet is in the pet health business, then it must be good.
Right. Right.
That's the disconnect right there. The vet would not be doing something that is not healthy for my dog. Right. And I'm going to say, if you look at the veterinary industry as a pet health industry, then it will be very confusing. If you understand that it's a pharmaceutical sales outlet, then it's not so hard to understand.
Exactly. They're programmed by the pharmaceutical industry. It's not medical training anymore. It's not any kind of education, really, aside from like anatomy and surgery. Like, that's like, okay, you got this bone connects to this bone and these arteries and all of that stuff. That's probably really true learning, but all treating all the diseases, it's all programming to use drugs. And it doesn't, you know, they don't even really teach you. I mean, I feel like everything I learned in vet school about how the body works was probably wrong and just programmed. It was programming to use certain drugs because they teach you some things about, well, what they want you to think about how the body works and then how all these drugs are going to fix it. And that's what medical education is. And I think it's the same on the human side because the paradigms are the same. The fear is the same. You know, the tactics are the same. But yeah, people want to believe that their vets are totally there to just to help their pet, but really they, yeah, they're pharmaceutical salespeople, really.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit more about the rabies information, but one of the things that I told this pet parent that we would talk about a little bit here on the podcast is I said there are alternate, and I hate to say alternative as we're learning right now, as you and I are both studying with the Bigglesons, but there is another solution to doing harsh pharmaceuticals to if you need help with flea and tick or, you know, heartworm. There are other solutions like garlic. Okay. And this sweet pet parent said, oh my gosh, you know, that's in the onion family. I can't give my dog garlic. Well, you can. And it's perfectly safe. And but the one thing that I wanted to point out is, you know, Dr. Harvey Bigelson, I don't know if you heard this. They were saying, you know, like when the water is stagnant, okay, when you have a pond that's very stagnant, then you've got a lot of bugs that are attracted to that stagnation, right? To all of that gunk that's in there. It's more buggy. Mm-hmm. But when you have clean water, when you have a clean terrain, they're not as attracted to that. And we see that in raw-fed dogs versus kibble-fed dogs. Raw-fed dogs don't have all that yeasty, gunky crap coming out of their skin that flea and ticks are so attracted to, right? And maybe they're there to help clean it up. I don't know. But you don't see that as much on raw-fed dogs. So that principle, we see it all the time.
Right. Right. So maybe you wouldn't have to worry so much about the heartworm and the flea and tick and all these preventatives to, and what are the bugs? It's like, it's another thing to be afraid of, you know, the bugs, just another, oh my gosh, we can't have all those tick-borne diseases, and the fleas can, you know, they make your dog itch and they spread plague and all this stuff. It's all fear, 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 because fear sells. Well, yeah. How about if you just put your dog on a better diet? Then they're not as attracted to the bugs. I know Josh Bigelson said he talked about going fishing with his dad. And he says, we'd both be sitting there and he's like, I'd be getting eaten alive by mosquitoes and there wouldn't be a single one on my dad. And my dad would say, well, because the mosquitoes feed on the swamp. So you got to clean up your act, you know? And he was a young kid. He was probably eating junk food and stuff like that, you know? But that's a really valid point. That maybe if we just get our dogs so healthy that they don't have that musty, yeasty, inflamed odor, that the bugs won't even be as much of a problem. I mean, we don't, you know, nobody's done that experiment.
Well, we have a good control group of the dogs that we have, right? And, and you know, has Lozzie ever gotten a tick? Did Asta ever get a tick? Sure. We just pulled them off. Yeah, right.
Right.
But I don't, you know, again, I don't have that fear that says, oh my gosh, my dog has a tick. Therefore I'm going to start watching for every kind of limp or every kind of thing that might indicate that they have a tick borne illness, or I'm going to go get them tested for Ehrlichia. And then I'm going to put them on some sort of, you know, antibiotic, doxycycline, mm-hmm. for months and months and months, which, by the way, is going to totally disrupt your terrain, your dog's terrain. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it is the fear, mm-hmm. Unsubstantiated fear that drives us to do these things that aren't healthy for ourselves or for our pets. But one thing we do know is if your pet is not doing well under the regimen that he's currently under, you can't just keep adding more of the same thing and expecting a better result.
You know, speaking of fear, you know, I'll talk to clients sometimes in the same area of the country. So the same risk of flea and tick and all that, you know, it's really mm-hmm. in the South where, you know, if there's a lot of fear around, you know, these bugs and everything. And sometimes I'll talk to a client and say, do you do flea and tick? No, heartworm? No, you don't do anything. Do you ever have a problem with the flea? No, fine ticks, every now and then, but we just take them off. Do you test your dog for heartworm? Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're just not worried about it. And they're dogs are fine. Their dogs are not getting sick. But I could talk to another person. Well, you have to do that stuff here because the fleas are really bad. Like, so what's the difference between this person that says, no, we don't have a problem, and this other person that says, well, they're really bad. We have to do that. It's the fear. The vet told them that. So now they're afraid of it. And now they just feel like, well, if I don't do that, like it's the fear of the unknown. Well, my dog doesn't have fleas now, but if I stop giving all this stuff, they certainly will, because that's what they've been told. So you just got to get out of that fear mindset and, you know, watch your dog. If you end up with fleas in your home or something, well, then you can deal with it. But you don't have to, it's the fear of the unknown that sells it. This is all the bad things that could possibly happen. Well, how likely are those things really in, you know, our healthy pet dogs? Yeah, stray dogs, dogs that are not in good health, yeah, they're going to be more susceptible to getting sick and, you know, getting diseases, having things like heartworm. But I think the average pet dog on a good diet, I think the risk is just really low, no matter where you live.
Right. And the body will deal with it if the terrain is good. Now, real quickly, why is that narrative out there, Dr. JC, that dogs can't eat garlic?
Well, it is true that if dogs eat a lot of onion, because mm-hmm. They're related in the family, same mm-hmm. family of plants. I mean, it is true they get an anemia. I've only ever seen one case of this. But I think dogs have to eat a lot of onion. Like I've seen so many clients, like a piece of onion drops on the floor and the dog eats it and they're off to the ER and the poor dogs are sick from all the treatments, much more so than they would have been from the piece of onion. I think the only case I ever saw was like a little Shih Tzu, small little 9 or 10 pound dog, and it loved green onions for some reason. And the people didn't know that it could be a problem. So they were literally feeding the dog green onions every day.
Oh gosh.
And the dog ended up, it gives them an anemia, but this dog had an ongoing exposure. So if you take a big dog, I mean, you translate that, take a 50 or 80 pound dog, they'd have to eat so much onion. I just don't think a dog would ever even ingest that much onion. I think they have seen this too in cattle, like in feedlots where, you know, these poor feedlot cattle, they just bring in like truckloads of waste. Like say they've got onions freezing a field or something and they can't sell them to the public. So they just feed them to the poor cows and then they get a, you know, they're eating nothing but onions for 2 days. They're going to get sick. Obviously, who wouldn't? But anyway, so because garlic is in the same family, it's also been, you know, just given that bad reputation, well, it's toxic. Well, I mean, I think a dog would have to eat like so much garlic, like they'd get sick from eating the garlic before they could eat enough for like to be truly toxic. I mean, it upset their stomach.
Right.
And the amount you have to give just to change their body odor enough to repel the animals. I mean, I've been recommending there's a great product out there called Bug Off. It's from a company called Springtime. And it's just dried garlic, but it's nice and it's measured, tells you how much to give. I've had many, many people use that and no problems. That's the other thing I look at. What am I seeing out in the real world? So you have this narrative, mm-hmm. the fear, 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 fear. I'm like, okay, I've been recommending that to clients for years now. I've had many people use that product. Never seen a dog get sick from it. So if it were so toxic, wouldn't I be having these people come back to me and say, yeah, this made my dog sick. I never, never heard it. So yeah. Again, it's just that fear. It's that fear propaganda. And why? Well, then they can sell you the, you know, the flea and tick preventatives, the expensive, the things that the vet clinics make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They're not going to make much money if you go online and buy a garlic supplement or just give your own garlic. You could just give dried garlic, you know, to your dog.
Yeah. And Dr. JC can help you with that if you guys want to look at alternatives to the toxins, which we would always encourage you to do. Then you want to get over to ahavet.com where you can work with Dr. JC. All right, so listen to this, Dr. JC. We got a email from a listener who listens all the time, and she said. She did a Zoom call with you and she absolutely loves you, by the way. But she said, anyway, she took her dog to the vet to have a bump checked out And it turned out it was nothing but a floating rib that was flared out a little. Okay. But the vet tech immediately started pushing flea and tick preventative on this pet parent. And she declined. And so she dramatically put on gloves, sighed, and started combing through her dog looking for fleas and ticks. And she found what, Dr. Jasek? Nothing. And she said her vet came in, okay, and started on the vaccines. She said, my dog needs to be updated on everything. And she said, I declined it all. And she said, my dog actually had an adverse vaccine reaction previously, and she was in the ER for it. And she said, all of that is documented. And she said, her vet actually said to her, and she said, I quote, she said, well, she's still here, so it wasn't a serious reaction. Oh, the dog didn't die, so it wasn't that serious. Okay.
So let's give some more vaccines. Maybe it'll get me a little more serious this time. Then you can actually have a documented reaction.
Exactly. And she said, I was floored. She said, so my dog has to die from her vaccine reaction for it to be severe. She said, well, then I said, I just want to pay for this visit and I want to get out of here. And the vet said that she could lose her license if I left without updating my dog's vaccine.
Jeez.
And she said, well, that sounds like her problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get out of there. And she said, her invoice, and she sent me a copy of the invoice. She said, it says declined next to everything. And she said, I asked for an invoice for just what I paid for. And the tech said no and asked if I had insurance. And she said, I do. She then said, my insurance needs to know what preventative measures I declined.
Oh, yeah. So they're like, literally, they're trying to get the insurance company not to cover her. They're trying to make her, pressure her into doing this stuff because the insurance will pay for it. Yeah.
Right. And you know what's crazy? She said that this vet that she went to, which, by the way, is in Massachusetts, she said, claims on their website that they are holistic. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she said, but she did some digging and they're owned by VetCor, but they're still practicing under the private practice name. And she said, they offer acupuncture and Chinese herbs, but they push vaccines. They don't titer and they push flea and ticks and all of those other toxins.
Mm. Not very holistic, doesn't sound like.
Right. So again, guys, this is invaluable information. The rabies webinar that's on our Rumble account, and Dr. Jasek has it on her site as well at ahavet.com. But our Rumble site, Raw Dog Food and Company, you will see the entire rabies webinar with the slides right there. You want to know this information so that when you get bullied, okay, and that's exactly what happens in the traditional medical field, whether you're somebody that's dealing with an issue yourself or whether your dog is. This is the bullying techniques. And if you succumb to it, there will be consequences, right? You have a choice. And this pet mm-hmm. parent said, I'm going to be the voice for my dog. I'm going to decline all of this stuff. She'd already seen what vaccines could do. And obviously, this vet didn't think it was any big deal that this dog had a reaction and didn't die.
Yeah, it's interesting how with a little bit of a push, you know, people believe that veterinarians just want to take care of their pets and have their pets' best interest at heart. But with a little bit of a push, the true colors come out and they say things that are just so mean like that. Well, your dog didn't die. So, you know, it's not a very serious reaction. I mean, how cold and uncaring, you know, can that be? But, you know, people need to see this. People need to see how far down the toilet the veterinary profession has gone. And then they'll realize, sadly, that they are not the caring individuals with their pet's best interest at heart. Like we were saying, they're salesmen.
So we had another email, Dr. Jasek. And this pet parent says, our almost four-year-old Rottweiler was diagnosed with IMHA. What is that? Immediated hemia. What is that? IMHA.
Immune-mediated hemolytic anemia. So it's
that
like
word.
Autoimmune thing.
Yeah. And then she was diagnosed with that after her vaccinations last year, where we almost lost her with her PCV dipping to 8. So that's her blood count, right? What is that? The PCV? Yeah,
that's the packed cell volume. So that's the percentage of red blood cells. She probably had to have a transfusion. If it goes below like 20, it can be like life-threatening. Below 10, she probably needed a transfusion to even survive.
So this started after she got her vaccinations, okay? But she said over the last 6 months, she's been on the healing road and her PCV is now up to 45. Now, the internal med specialist that they're seeing said that she should not receive any vaccinations, except, guess what, Dr. Jasek? Except she should receive her rabies. Yeah. And it's okay because it's required by the state.
Right. So that makes it safe.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Right. And this pet parent says, I'm pretty sure it was the rabies that sent her into this situation in the first place. And we don't want to get any more vaccinations for her or her sister. And we don't want to relapse. You know, do we have any options in the state of Colorado to not getting vaccinated? You know, we are a family who takes a holistic approach towards our own health. And we want that for our dogs. And I would say, yeah, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what people are asking us, Dr. Jasek, is there a legal workaround? And I don't think we know a legal workaround. I would say that simply from what you showed on the rabies webinar, the manufacturer's information that says only a healthy dog. This isn't a healthy dog.
No. No. It says it right in the package insert. So, you know, that should be done. Now, you know, Colorado does allow a rabies. They actually have a state form that does allow a rabies exemption. I've written many of those. It does require a medical reason, but, you know, a history of IMHA would be, you know, a valid medical reason for, I mean, It's just so hard to even imagine that a vet would require a dog like that to get a rabies shot so that it could have care. But I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they did. But I've seen the exemptions work, like with some of the county, city and county, if they've got the thing, you know, signed by a vet that says that the dog does have a medical condition, that can work. Sadly, it's the vets that are the hardest, that because they won't accept them sometimes, you know, even if it's something like they've had a life-threatening reaction.
So you've got two different situations here, right? You have one pet parent that says, I don't really care what you say. You're bullying me. I know, but both pet parents know that these vaccinations caused a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't necessarily have a solution for you other than education. And the one thing that we say, don't put your dog in a situation to where you have to be bullied or they're going to put those in your dogs without your permission, right? That's really all we have at the moment.
Mm-hmm. You have to fly under the radar. And, you know, there's a thing called civil disobedience, where sometimes, you know, if the laws don't make any sense or it's not in the best interest of your pet's health, then you have to push back against the laws. But, you know, laws can be changed. It just takes enough people that are interested in changing them to push back together.
Well, come on. we've got to start documenting what's happening to our pets, right? The problem is that the narrative is so strong that it's like, look over here, maybe it's the raw food. It's not the poison you're putting in them. No, it's the raw food. And many of these pet parents that are worried about the bacteria in the raw food, I make this statement, and whether they believe me or not, I don't know, but I'm like, the raw food's the cleanest thing and the healthiest thing you're doing for your dog,
totally.
Right? That is not going to cause a problem. Back to the first pet parent I was talking about, they were really worried because their dog was in this bad state where it has ataxia, it's having a hard time getting up, it's itchy, it's on Apoquil, you know, the one that's doing the flea and tick and all the stuff. And I'm like, well, this is what they were created to eat. And I don't think that creator, whatever kind of creator you believe in or see or pray to or whatever, would make an animal that couldn't eat what it was supposed to eat, right?
Right.
And she was worried because, like all pet parents, they want their pets to be healthy, that raw food would further compromise this dog's problems. And I said, we don't see that, right? We don't see that good nutrition compromises a dog's issue. And I said, you can work with Dr. Jasek, and I'm pretty darn sure that even her cancer dogs go on raw food.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Right. So
my first choice in diet.
Right. And so I think we have to really start looking at folks' poisons, toxins versus bacteria, right? And we have to have bacteria. Bacteria is essential for life. It goes away, we die. Your dogs right. die, right?
Right. And you have to ask too, you know, like people just say bacteria, like this broad scoping, like, well, what bacteria? Like there's, I don't know, probably millions of different types of bacteria. So which bacteria are you referring to? And people don't even know. The vets don't even know. They just, well, bacteria, because it, you can make that into a scary word. Like, so which bacteria? I think I'm just going to start asking people, so exactly which bacteria are you referring to that you're worried about? Because there's many different species and 99% of them are actually beneficial. So which bacteria is it that you're so afraid of?
Well, I ask that question when I get the question, does this food have everything my dog needs? And I say, what is your dog need? Well, does it have iodine? Well, how much iodine does your dog need?
And they don't know. They don't have any idea.
No, they don't know. And because they want, you know, they believe that there's a formula out there. And what we see is that meat, bones, organ, and fats, maybe some days you just do raw meaty bones, maybe some days you do blends that don't have organs in it. Maybe, you know, whatever. Variety, right? Whether chicken, duck, turkey, pork, rabbit, lamb. You know, if you can get, you know, we have some venison. If you can get bison, or you can get this, you can get that. I mean, it's variety. What mm-hmm. would a wild animal eat, right?
Dogs are natural scavengers. They're used to eating all these different things. And I find a lot of people, like, they get on one protein and it goes well, and then they're afraid. They're afraid to, you know, try something. Again, it's that fear, you know, the fear of the unknown. Like, how could feeding your dog, its natural diet do any harm? Say you feed it something it doesn't agree with them, gets a little diarrhea. Okay, we'll go back to what you're feeding before, figure it out, or maybe make the transition a little more slowly to new protein or something. But most dogs can transition around just fine, but then you are running the risk of not giving them proper nutrition if you just stick with the one protein. That's part of the deal. You have to do the rotation, because, you know, that is how you balance the diet. That is how you give dogs everything they need, by doing the rotation. And I mean, I like to add in a little extra organ, or you mm-hmm. add in the extra body parts and the raw meaty bones and just all of this variety. But there's just so much fear against, you know, things like bones or You know, I mean, you know, you've heard all the stories too. I hear them all the time too. There's just so
Right.
much fear around why these different things would be bad for their pet. And it's not founded. None of it. It's just all talk.
Brian said to me, I'm going to write an article on what is so scary about real food? What is so scary about real food? Why is that processed food, processed, chemically laden food, doesn't frighten you? Doesn't scare you at all. But real food does. What's the fear?
Yeah. It's a great point to ponder.
You know, and because we have so many pet parents that are afraid of real food for their pets. And yet, maybe through their entire life, they've been getting chemicals, 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 rancid oils, synthetics, preservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pile on all the other toxins. Where is the nutritional value? Where is the health? How does your dog sustain life? I mean, Dr. Jacek, if you were sitting over there eating cookies and cakes and processed foods all day and injecting your body with stuff that were toxins at least once a month, would you feel good?
I can't see how I would. I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing all my planting and homestead activities and all this stuff here. I think I'd probably be sitting on the couch all the time because I'd be, you know, I'd have low energy and I'd probably be overweight and have achy joints and all that. I wouldn't feel like doing much.
Right. And you'd be polluting the life force. You'd be polluting your blood and your cells and everything else wouldn't be able to do what they do. So anyway, we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that today. Look, bullying is a part of the medical establishment, whether that is on your side or on your pet's side. And I only see that getting worse, Dr. Jacek, don't you? It's only getting worse.
Yeah, and it's gonna, you know, when the medical professionals are living by this paradigm, it's very comfortable because all their colleagues are saying the same things in their little box. And you come in and you start to challenge that would require them to think about what they're doing. Like they don't want to move out of that nice little comfort zone. They don't want to think about something else. They don't want to like have to go learn something that might make them change how they practice. So they're going to push back and they're going to bully harder. So you have to be prepared for that. But that's the only way it's going to change is if people start pushing back. Like I said that in the webinar, it isn't going to be popular, but that's, you've got to get in and start pushing them. And if enough people do that, you know, maybe that'll make at least some of the vets take notice and think differently. I don't know. I think ultimately we're going to just need a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of treating and just kind of start with a new system. But in the short term, definitely pushing back in the best interest of your pet's health is what you want to be doing.
Right. And do you really need to go get a checkup? What are we checking? If your dog is eating and pooping and running around and playing,
you know your own dog better than anybody, including the vet. Like, yeah, they could do medical tests and everything. So if your dog's acting sick, okay, maybe then you need to take them in and see what they can find, figure out what's wrong. But you know them better than anybody. So taking them in for that checkup is probably just going to mean pumping them full of a bunch of chemicals that is going to then make them sick.
Right. So, you know, again, what we try to do is give you guys information so you can not have to be subjected to that. If you want a true holistic vet, that is not going to bully you, that is a raw feeder, that doesn't, you know, pump dogs full of toxins and expect them to get well, then you want to work with somebody like Dr. Judy Jacek and her team. Okay. Even if she can't put her hands on your dog, there's a body of evidence, and there's a mindset, and there's an energy that is very different. Okay. And that will help you if you have to go see someone. Okay. You can push back. I haven't seen yet, Dr. Jasek, these pet parents that have pushed back, that the pet police have been standing outside ready right. to take their dogs
right.
or that the pet police has come knocking on their door.
Or that these vets are like lost their license because they allowed them to walk out the door without vaccinating them. That's just so absurd.
And you know what I would say? Well, if that's the case, too bad. So sad. I'm sorry you're going to lose your license. Maybe you need to work to revamp that, but I'm taking my dog out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And right. and these pet parents that have done it and have faced their bullies head on and have held their ground and taken their dogs out, they're stronger.
Oh, yeah.
They know what to do, and they will be able to do it again the next time. But you have to do it the first time.
Yep. Yep. It's you know, it's not easy, but yeah, it gets easier. It builds your, it's like a muscle. It's like, you got to go to the gym. You want to have stronger muscles. You got to work them out. You got to exercise them. This is a skill that needs to be exercised, because we have a natural, you know, tendency. We want to be liked. We want to feel included, feel part of the tribe. These vets are not your tribe. They're the, you know, they're the tribe, you know, in the next, I don't know, whatever, over the next hill that is trying to threaten the well-being of your village. So
right.
you got to push back on them. They're the bullies that want to come over and take over your village. So why, I mean, I guess my point is saying, why do you care if they don't like you? Like, if this is not somebody that you should care about, if they like you or have respect for you or care about you, what are they to you? Why is it so? Why do you care so much whether or not they like you or whether you get their approval? Doesn't matter to you. Go find somebody that will work with you in the way you want to be worked with, and work with them. Don't.
Yeah. And
who cares
and I,
about the bullies?
And I just want to say that you and I have seen that when you are open to other avenues, if you reduce your fear, okay, we're all faced with fear. There are many people that get diagnoses that they don't want in life, right? But if you are open, you will be led to more information that is in line with you. You and I see that all mm-hmm. the time. And we're in this world right now where we're not supposed to think, and we're certainly not supposed to feel. Okay. But I do believe, and I do see, that if you have an issue and you feel lost, take that one step towards that somebody that is in line with what you believe and with what you think. And I think you will be guided in other directions. So, mm-hmm. You know,
you have to be open to it. Now, there's that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I really believe in that. But you have to be really open to it and
yeah.
ask for the information, ask whoever you pray or meditate or whatever, ask for the guidance. And I really believe that comes if you're truly open to it, but it might not come in the way you're thinking. So you have to be very open to, oh, I never thought about that. You know, so you might be thinking, well, I need this and this and this and this, but the universe might send you information some other way that you're not expecting. So you just have to be open to, you know, a bigger plan than you can see.
Right, right. And the first step may be working with Dr. Jasek, right? And then maybe that leads you down another path. But to keep doing the same thing that isn't working and hoping for a different result, you guys, you know what the term is. It's insanity. Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot, Dr. Jasek. We see these dogs get to this stage, and they didn't get there overnight, right? There's been a progression of a lot of toxins, a lot of poisons, and a lot of bad nutrition. And it's going to take a little bit for that to reverse itself. But we can definitely help you. Dr. Jasek can help you. And, you know, if you have anything that you want us to discuss here on the podcast, you can send us an email remember the rabies webinar and a lot of our short videos, a lot of our things from the podcast, they're right there on our Rumble page. They're probably on YouTube as well, but I don't ever promote YouTube too much, but they're out there. And Dr. Jasek has a great multimedia page as well. All of your blogs and your podcast and your information is right there. So get over to ahavet.com and get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, because here at Raw Dog Food, your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jasek?
Friends, don't let friends feed kibble, y'all.
That's right. That's right. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.